Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atik Ahmed Bhatti, a fourth-generation homeopath with over 20 years of professional practice in this field of healing. In the Homeopathy Health Show, I'll be talking all things homeopathy and natural, with guest interviews, tips and advice, and answering some of your questions. Homeopathy is truly a unique complementary system of healing, suitable for all ages, young and old. I'd love to hear from you and welcome your questions on homeopathy and how it can or has helped you. Feel free to email me at health@liketreatslike.co.uk or visit online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hello, I do hope you're well and in good health. It is amazing, isn't it, how quickly time flies. 1 week seems to be over in a matter of days. Now in today's show, we continue with my special series on the history and development of homeopathy. I've had a great pleasure of speaking to James Fernley of Nature's Laboratory over the past several weeks now, and he will join me again today for the final part of my interview with him on propolis and its amazing benefits for immune support. This week's Time for Reflection features another beautiful poem, and of course I'll try to fit in a few questions for you too. So let's start with the history and development of homeopathy, and this forms part three of this special series. Homeopathy means like cures like, or like treats like, and this is the method of treating a disease with the materials derived from the toxic and injurious agents causing similar signs and symptoms complex. Now it's interesting to know here that the characteristic features of different medicines have been investigated for thousands of years. People have repeatedly faced different poisons and have known their nature. For example, Socrates was made to drink conium 2,500 years ago. Although people knew the effects of this poison before this, the personal experience and the moment-by-moment detailed description of the effects of this poison as given by Socrates had never been known as before. As the poisonous symptoms gradually worsened, he kept describing to his attendants precisely as to what, where, and in what order was his body being affected by the poison. So as such, Socrates was proving the remedy or proving the effects of conium as far as the symptoms were concerned. Dr. Samuel Hahnemann also tried many poisons on himself in a diluted form and also meticulously noted the effects minutely as described by Socrates. He also found that when a weakened poison is administered in small doses repeatedly, its unique properties become manifest but do not last forever. This process of registering details of the actions of the poison and like substances is called proving in homeopathy. Along similar lines to Dr. Hahnemann, many homeopaths have experimented on themselves with various poisons and noted their detailed effects. In this way, the homeopathic materia medica has steadily expanded. Extended proving cannot be based on one person's experimentation, but for proper acceptance, the proving has to be done by many, in different times, weather, and localities, and on people with different dispositions. A proper registry into the materia medica is attained after collective group discussions on the methods and results of proving arrived at individually, as some drugs may work better on obese people and some on thin and lean people, as an example. The volunteers of these experiments are not told of what and from what source they have been given a substance. Experimentation is repeated in different seasons, and the effects are noted on the body as well as the mind, and all studies are carefully scrutinized and determined. Dr. Christian Frederick Samuel Hahnemann has given the most weight to the effect on the mind. One remedy has a similar effect on two patients with similar mental symptoms, but may not have a similar effect on two patients with similar physical appearances. So, as you can see, Dr. Christian Frederick Samuel Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, has detailed a number of, or should I say a great many remedies, in the most meticulous manner that was available to him at his time. And these provings, these so-called provings that contain the digital signature of a remedy, meaning the symptoms that were produced by taking a certain poison in a diluted form, are meticulously recorded in the Materia Medica, which is the book or books. There are several Materia Medica available to homeopaths, and these are the books that homeopathic practitioners refer to, as they contain all the different types of provings associated with remedies. So, for example, one of the key books that I use in my clinic is Dr. Robin Murphy's two books, actually, I use from Dr. Robin Murphy. And this is called The Meta Repertory and also Nature's Materia Medica. It's interesting, isn't it? Not related to homeopathy here, but I just had a thought that everything nowadays seems to be called or starts with meta. So this metaverse, we've certainly seen this. I think it actually all started with the Marvel films, did it not? So this metaverse, and now we've got, obviously, Facebook is called Meta. And then we've got, with homeopathic remedies, we've also got a meta repertory. Interesting use of words indeed, isn't it? I'm sure that along the lines, in the future, there will be probably something called meta-homeopathy, but let's see what that contains and what that comprises of. As, of course, if you have any questions or you'd like me to cover other areas within the history and development of homeopathy, please get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you and your feedback.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
It's time to go through some remedies now. Now, we have, of course, four seasons, and winter can actually sound very, very gloomy as one of the seasons. But whatever we do, we have no control over these four seasons. Certainly, unlike Vivaldi. Now, with the long winter months bring a host of minor to severe ailments, including the dreaded cold, flu, and general lethargy and sore throats. The days become shorter, of course, as we know, and that doesn't actually help matters because when daylight becomes minimal, naturally the body responds accordingly. The large majority of people end up going to work or going to university in the dark, and you know they return back in the dark as well. But there is always good news. There are a host of homeopathic remedies and tinctures that are available to help you fight off the winter chills. Hi, this is Atik from the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm here to help and support you in your health and wellness journey, to answer your questions on everything homeopathy and much more. To get in touch, contact me via my email, health@liketreatslike.co.uk, or visit online at www.liketreatslike.com. www.allgazelles.co.uk. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram by searching for Like Treats Like. Or just visit UK Health Radio online and you'll find my contact information under the Presenters tab. Homeopathy is a wonderful natural complementary system of healing, so let's work together for your health, wellness and vitality. Now, I'm delighted to welcome back James Fernley, who's the founder and CEO of Nature's Laboratory. He's also founded the Apiceutical Research Centre and the International Propolis Research Group. He has many, many years of incredible knowledge on propolis research, the benefits of propolis as a modern immune support medicine. It's been fascinating speaking to James over the last few homeopathy health shows, and I'm delighted to welcome him back. So thank you for joining me, James. I know how busy you are. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. I take it. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
No, thank you. I wanted to really talk about immune support and its importance in a connected world. And I know that we've spoken about this in our previous chats. We're all so under so much pressure and stress. There's so much geomagnetic fields around us. And the immune system, or the need, let me rephrase, the need for immune support, I feel, is greater than it's ever been at any other point, which would then lead us on actually to the fact that the population is suffering. And certainly there have been reports alluding to this, that the resistance to antibiotics is a great cause of concern nowadays. And but on the other side, the good news is, of course, that we have propolis, which of course you're going to talk to us about, and its immunoregulating and immune support properties.
Yeah, I mean, I think the honeybee, how can I say this? I think the honeybee has got a tremendous amount to teach us in so many different ways. And I think one of the things that it can teach us is to understand the way we treat the honeybee, what the ultimate consequences of that are. And when you take something like colony collapse disorder, which we spoke about the last time we spoke, here are bees that have really been stressed to the absolute limit and are leaving the hive and they're not coming back. It's almost as if all the little sort of rubber bands that hold the whole thing together are being snapped, and the kind of wholeness, the relatedness of the honeybee as a superorganism simply just evaporates. There's nothing to hold it together because it's been stressed and stressed and stressed. My imagination says, in a way, if we're not careful, we're going to get community collapse disorder. Or do we already have community collapse disorder? In a way, in so many ways, in our own bodies, we are stressing our own bodies, both ourselves, and as you've spoken, from the outside, in the foods that we eat, the way we live, our exposure to micro radiation of one kind or another. Mm. When they switched the 5G on somewhere in California, I think, I have a picture of a swarm of bees dropping dead underneath the mast. There are many examples of that. Now, I don't know. I wouldn't like to say whether that means we should have 5G or 5G or not, but it is a reality, particularly when you switch those things on. It has a tremendous impact on us. So
it's a side effect, isn't it? It's a side effect of technology as well, like everything.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. And in a certain way, I think, those who say, look, you know, from an evolutionary point of view, we need to get used to them. I mean, some people thought that the steam, you know, the steam locomotives, the noise and the speed that they traveled at would cause hysterical conditions in people. And no doubt they probably did at some level to start with, but we've got used to it. We've understood it, but maybe we've got used to too much and maybe we're finding it difficult to absorb and to evolve kind of quick enough. So you're right. The human being is under a huge amount of pressure, and this reflects itself in, I think, what we call our immune system, this very complex system that, so to speak, keeps everything working together. It keeps all the connectors, like some enormous telephone exchange. It keeps all the plugs in the right space, and the power flowing in the right form. And you know what is disease other than elements of disconnection there? So I think one of the key things is that we need to really, you know, rethink our views about what our immune system is and how important it is to us. And I think we need to apply the same kind of thinking, because it's the same kind of issue, to the importance of the relatedness of all things. Like, we call it ecology, but ecology is no more than understanding the relatedness of one thing in nature to the other. That's what it is. In our kind of social relationships, social relationships which are breaking down in the context of things like too much virtual communication and not enough real human relatedness. This is causing, you know, we've seen this with COVID, haven't we? That physical isolation from human beings has caused an absolute tsunami of it might be minor, it might be more, but a lot of mental discomfort.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct there, because I have experienced myself when patients come to see me, but also, you know, in the general fraternity, that people are, because of COVID as well. I mean, that it wasn't just because of COVID, of course, but COVID was definitely that period of isolation and staying away from loved ones or the social interaction element. People now are actually or express some sort of almost nervousness about having to speak to other people, whereas before that never was an issue. And God forbid this is going to, you know, become more and more serious as time goes by. How many times do we see people walking along the pavement or crossing the road even, and they're not looking, they're unaware of their surroundings because the mobile phone is in the hand? And how dangerous is that? Not just obviously as far as, God forbid, being hit by a car or, you know, bumping into something, but the actual emotional impact. It's making us introverts, if we think of it from an emotional point of view, if we are closing ourselves, then are we not, it begs the question, are we also closing our immune system?
I think we are. I think our immune system is kind of three-dimensional. It's physical, obviously, because we know how our immune system is affected by physical trauma, but it's also social. We know that how it's affected by our emotional world, our relationships, but it's also to do with how we feel about ourselves, our existential world, our sense of that meaning for ourselves. So it's a three-dimensional sense, and that three dimensions applies to community as well. You know, we have a social, we have an economic, which is a kind of physical world, and we have a cultural world. We have the way in which we understand and relate ourselves to the world. So, you know, for me, the when we talk about, for instance, sustainability, you know, it literally is talking about the way the word itself ought to mean our ability to sustain ourselves. And the thing that sustains ourselves, our ability to sustain ourselves in a single human being, is what we call the immune system. This is my view. And we must look after that system in the knowledge that it is three-dimensional. That, yes, of course, we must look after our body. We must listen to our body. But we must listen to our heart as well. We must listen to our respiratory system. We must listen to that which inspires us as human being, that which moves us as human being. We must listen to that and try and find space to be guided by the messages or the demands that it's asking us to understand. Mm. And we must also listen to our head. Yes, of course, you know, but to our head, not just in terms of our thinking, but in terms of, you know, how we conceive of our understanding of who we are, how we experience ourselves as being confident human beings, how we feel, how we experience a sense of meaning and purpose in the world, not just how we fit in to the world, not just in how we adapt to the world, but how we experience a sense of meaning. And every person is a unique person, and everybody has that unique jewel of themselves. And to me, that is as important. It must be. Imagine a propeller on a boat. You know, the propellers, they usually have three kind of angles to them, and they're all the same size in a certain sense. You take one of them off, you know, and the propeller doesn't go around so effectively, so it doesn't actually propel the boat. If we don't get these three things in harmony, if we don't get them integrated, then we must expect to become uncomfortable. And that doesn't mean to say that we're all the same. It means we've all got to find our own unique balance.
I think the environment, you know, it's fascinating what you're saying, because it makes me think not related really to this conversation, but when things are in harmony, for example, we know that, and I'm sure I've never certainly met anyone in my life who's ever complained about the birds singing at dawn. No one has ever said, oh, why are they making that noise? I've never, we all know when the sun shines, there is that, especially around March time. It's one of the best times, because spring is on the way, and, you know, the luscious rays of the sun are just, I mean, I can't even put it into words, but it makes you smile. Yeah. I've never met anyone who said, oh, why are trees this color? I don't like green. Why are they green? Why are plants green? Because it's the way that things have been created, that they have this natural calming effect. They have a soothing effect. And this is, this is being one at nature, because things are a harmony or a symphony. But we find now that it's we don't even have time to enjoy those simple pleasures, the simple things which we very much certainly take for granted, but are there. It just takes 5 minutes in the morning to wake up and listen to birdsong and think, why, how, what are they talking about? You know, why are all these different birds making different sounds? Just like the same thing with the bees. We spoke in one of our, I think the previous episode or two, we spoke about, you mentioned the figure of eight within the hive, and some of the research that was done with physics and biology and so forth. So it's fascinating, isn't it? But at the moment, we're in such a disruptive or disrupted state to take an electronics term, everyone is on short circuit, isn't it?
There's a very, very interesting book that I read a while back. You may have come across it, called Radical Remission by a woman called Kelly Turner. And she looked at 1,000 cases of people who had been diagnosed as suffering from terminal, usually cancer, terminal conditions. And she looked at the many ways in which those 1,000 people had remissed, i.e. got well. And it's interesting that the 9 key reasons split into 3 equal categories, 3 each. 3 were physical, like taking supplements or, you know, eating better food or something like that. 3 were social. They were building stronger relationships with people and so on. And 3 of them were what I would call cultural, spiritual, existential, or however you want to put it. And they were about sort of developing your understanding of the spiritual world, having a reason to live, and so on.
Right.
But there was one key example. You talk about listening to the birds. A man in Japan who'd been diagnosed, I think he'd been told he'd only got a matter of a couple of months to live. He gave up his job. He was he was in IT, of course. And he took to standing on the roof of his house every morning before dawn and listening to the dawn and listening to the bird song. And actually, over a period of time, he made various observations about how the relationship between when the birds started singing and the arrival of dawn. He did some sort of research, so to speak, but essentially he said that it was understanding that, it was relating to that understanding and to hearing and being connected with the birds that brought him back into life. So
that's definitely that's so true. I think you know, we've spoken about this, of course, but we are becoming, it's very sad, but it's you know, it's very realistic to say that we are becoming more and more detached from our surroundings and from our environments, and whether this is our own fault or not. But because the mass population, if I'm correct here, is connected, or we are connected to one another. I mean, what are we doing? Where are you sitting? Where am I? And yet, you know, we're having this discussion as literally as if, you know, we're talking to each other, we're seeing each other. So everything has become ones and zeros almost, hasn't it?
Yes.
And the reality is becoming, well, reality. But then you think artificial intelligence is supposed to now bring in, with the VR and so forth, or AR, that it's supposed to bring in reality, when actually it's not. That's not non-reality, which is trying to become reality. So it's a whole mess, isn't it? It's a total mess.
Yeah. Yes, it is, because and there's one key area of my three-dimensional area that is entirely neglected, and that is the sense of self, our unique sense of self, which, you know, throughout time has been, you know, explored by the great religions and philosophies, you know, and where you know, we come to see ourselves as under, in one package or another, as being part of the whole. You know, it is, and in a certain way, we have become so myopic, so focused on, so to speak, the physical, practical, intellectual, material part of our life, that we've locked ourselves out of another dimension that is as much and as real and an integral part of ourselves, that and which is so important to our integrated health, if that makes sense.
It's absolutely. I agree with you. And even though we're going off slightly from the subject, but I'm sure that the listeners are finding this fascinating. But you know, recognition of God, for example, you know, having the spiritual element is critical to survival. It's critical to finding peace. It's critical to finding this inner calm, to have a purpose, to have an objective. And this is not something new. It's not certainly a new invention. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years. The teachings of different religions all allude to or point towards the same direction of, you know, recognizing a creator, serving humanity, you know, being good human beings. The rules are there for people to follow. And there's a choice, of course. You don't have to follow them, or you can follow them. But the spiritual element, as far as this conversation is concerned, is very, very important, because it's lacking from, you know, you mentioned, you know, we have the physical needs, we have it almost like you could say Maslow's hierarchy, but, you know, we're talking mind, body, spirit here, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And you know, it is that, you know, just to come back to that kind of the impact, for instance, of sort of emotional isolation that has accompanied COVID. I mean, you know, there's no better illustration of our need for others, you know, because in a way, you know, it does come back to something quite tangible, that, you know, that if we break the bond that exists and the relationship that exists between ourselves and others as a kind of immunity community, you know, it seems to me that we are an immunity community. We need to understand, relate to each other, because that's the way we relate to the whole, because we are part of the whole. So I think the you know, coming right back to propolis, I think what propolis and the honeybee has really sort of brought to me is so to speak a metaphor for understanding. It's a metaphor for understanding the wider concepts of health, community, and medicine. You know, and, you know, because the bee is collecting, the bee is relating to its environment, it's visiting, it's connecting, it's relating to what its environment is, and it collates its environment in such a way to create a substance which enables it itself to be creative, to grow, to go forth, to be sustained, and that is a dynamic, scientifically evidenced based phenomenon, but it's also a metaphor. In fact, it's not so much a metaphor, it's a reality about how everything works. I think and I hope that, you know, the tremendously interesting work that's been done with natural medicines, and also with new approaches to kind of understanding how our mind works and spirituality in general is taking us to a place. I'm thinking of people like Rupert Sheldrake, who's a biologist, you know, who's explored the reality of what he sees as the what we may have called the spiritual world in the past, and he calls it morphic resonance. You know, it's the sense in which we are all connected in reality, you know, in evidence based. So I think we're on the right track. It's just that we need to keep going. And I don't think I could have had this conversation in this way with you, or probably with anybody else, maybe 10 years ago. I don't think we would have, but we're, you know, there's so many more people out there listening, and many more people don't, they're not necessarily saying, oh, prove it anymore. They're saying, oh, that's interesting, because that is resonating with me.
That's that, you know, that is actually a very, very important statement you've said. It's there is a reality there. People are now giving, certainly the realization, perhaps not in the majority, but in many, is there that like we're having this conversation and we're talking about, you know, the world that we're living in at the moment, but we're also talking about how to connect back to reality, you know, to come out of go back to an analog state. That doesn't mean, you know, shun the modern advances of technology and medicine, not at all. What it means is that you also have this, you have to be selfish to give yourself time, so that your body can handle the strains and stresses of life. And certainly brings us back to propolis as well. And it's just really, really fascinating indeed. James, it's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, I'm sure that I actually would say to our listeners that if you have any questions related to what James has spoken about over the last several shows now with regards to propolis, immune support, bees in general, please do fire off an email to me at health@liketreatslike.co.uk. That's health@liketreatslike.co.uk. And in a future show, we'll have James back again, and perhaps we can look to answering some of those questions from our listeners. James, it's been absolutely incredible. I know that in, you know, a few months' time, we will talk again, possibly talk in more detail for our listeners as far as antibiotic resistance is concerned, and the positive and much needed role of that propolis plays, you know, in taking over where we have, where it's being seen that, you know, there is resistance to antibiotics. But I'm sure the listeners have learned a great deal. I certainly have. I'm a fan. So thank you very much. And God bless you. And I hope to talk to you very, very soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Atik. It's been a joy to have this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Remember, you can shop all things propolis online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk, where you will find the highest quality immune support products manufactured right here in the UK. Just click on the immune support tab at the top of the site and you'll find all the propolis products available to buy, from Pure Honey, Oral Health Range, Skincare Range, Whole Health Range, and the Pollen Range. And whilst you're there, take a look at my blog section to find blogs on homeopathy and natural healthcare. And now it's time for reflection with poems of healing. This one is called Let Your Love Flow to the World We Dream. Let your wish grow, let your love flow. Let your dreams raise to the world we want. The world might be changed, your thoughts might be rethinking. Your life might be changed, your dreams may be redreamed. You might be writing a new song, a new poem, or a new script for opera. For the world we want. A world, it's your world. A world, it's my world. A world of our children, a world of our own. Let's take a break. Let's check and back. Have you seen? The world we reimagined. A world for everyone. To the richest, to the poorest, to the blacks, to the whites. Equal for all, equal for everyone. Let's dream it again. Your dream begins and rise. And so, let your love, warmth and wish flow and rise. Let it flow to the odds, let it flow in peace. Let it flow in darkest, let it flow in sunshines. Let your love flow in crisis. Let it flow to cross the region, to cross the boundary and cross the ocean. Let it flow to the toughest, for the reimagining world, the world that we all want it all. Let's take care of our heart and soul. Let's take care of our loved ones, for our imagining world. Together, everyone from every corner, for our reimagining world. For a better future, a better life, a better world for our children, an equal world for everyone. This poem was written by Umme Halima, published in Sauti, Poems of Healing by the United Nations.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Time for some of your questions now. I've received a wonderful question here from a listener to the show. What are the best remedies to take during the winter months to protect against colds, coughs and flu? Well, firstly, thank you for the question. A very, very good question. Now, protecting is one thing, but catching the cold or the flu during the winter season is more tricky than we suspect. And we all have experience now of how it was during the pandemic. And certainly, try as you may, it was very touch and go, wasn't it? Because on one side, we were making sure that we were washing our hands, even changing our clothes and showering after we'd been outside, keeping our distance and everything else that went with it. But unfortunately, many still contracted COVID. Now, the thing with viral infections themselves is it's very, very difficult because as some of the adverts during the pandemic showed very clearly, if somebody was to sneeze even outside on the road, and the wind just happened to carry those droplets and your window was open and they carried through, then you'd become infected. So it's very, very hard, however, to protect, truly protect against getting a viral or even a bacterial infection. But the good news is, if the immune system is strong and it has the ability to fight, then, of course, infections can go very, very easily. Now, in answer to the question, there are some very, very good, very effective remedies within homeopathy that can help treat viral infections. So let's go through them, shall we? Now, I want to talk about three remedies specifically, which will be a good starting point. Now, when we talk about winter itself, it can sometimes sound gloomy, of course, unless it snows. And certainly snow is one of the best feelings in the world, isn't it? And everything seems to go so quiet because snow almost deafens all the sound out, doesn't it? It insulates so well. It's a beautiful time, isn't it? But it's not always the case here in the UK. Where I live, I don't think I've seen snow how it used to be. I remember back in the day, in the 80s, it used to snow so heavy that when we'd open the door, literally, the snow was at least 1 or 2 foot high. And nowadays, it lasts about 10 minutes. It's probably where I'm living. Anyhow, Now, the winter wonder remedy that I have in mind for you is the remedy Echinacea angustifolia. Echinacea is a wonderful immune stimulant, and it naturally boosts the immune system, just what we all need, especially during the cold and flu season. Now, generally, it's taken as a mother tincture and helps provide effective and natural immune support. Now, did you know Echinacea is also wonderful at purifying the blood? And so it's quite a nice, perfect mix during the cold or during the cold season, and also if you suffer from any bouts of flu. Now, I mentioned that Echinacea is a wonderful immune stimulant. So some of the things that Echinacea has been very successful in treating include appendicitis, bites, blood disorders, blood poisoning, boils, immune disorders, sore throats, and tonsillitis. And that's just a few that I've mentioned. Of course, one of the main indications is colds, any type of fever, and of course, the one that we're talking about today very much in answer to the question is influenza. Now, it's called the purple coneflower, and Echinacea is a wonderful remedy indeed. Now, how do you take it? So if, unfortunately, you do suffer from a cough, cold, sore throat, and influenza itself, then the best way to take Echinacea is in the form of a mother tincture, as possibly 7 drops in some water, room temperature water, 3 times a day. And these can be taken either before or after meals, so 15 minutes before or after meals. And they're generally taken for a few days just to nourish and stimulate the immune system. Now, the second remedy I wanted to talk to you about, which is actually the companion remedy to Echinacea, is a remedy called Ferrum Fos. Now, this is quite often used within the system of biochemic therapy, but I'm talking about Ferrum Fos in a homeopathic potency, and the potency in question is a 6x. Ferrum Fos is both, as I've mentioned, a homeopathic remedy and a tissue salt. But did you know that Ferrum Fos itself is one of the 12 inorganic salts within each one of our cells? Now, it's a perfect remedy to fight off the common cold and fevers related to the seasonal change in weather. So always remember Ferrum Fos also works to remove any weakness associated with getting the bout of cold and flu. Generally, it is taken either 3 to 4 times a day and depends on the condition itself, but usually a week should suffice. But that depends, and I would suggest or recommend rather that you do speak to a homeopath for further advice. But a wonderful remedy indeed, Ferrum Fos, which I certainly use quite frequently in my daily practice. And the last remedy for the winter chills is one of my favourites. It's the remedy Aconite, a truly marvellous remedy indeed, and it certainly helps with the sudden chill or the sudden sneeze that occurs, often and sadly signalling the misery of a cold or about a flu coming on. Taken as soon as possible after such an instance, Aconite certainly reduces the severity of the oncoming condition. It's certainly a wonderful remedy to have in the first aid kit at home. Now, some winter basics for you, of course. Always wrap up warm when going outside. Never have a shower or a bath and then leave home whilst your hair is still wet or damp. Always make sure during very cold spells that you wear lots of thin layers so that you keep well insulated. Now, I found that woolen sweaters are wonderful for this type of season, lovely and warm too. And always try to avoid staying out in the cold for lengthy periods of time if you can, because the last thing you want, the last thing any of us want, is to catch a nasty cold or a bout of influenza, because it just knocks you back it knocks you back for six, doesn't it, for some period of time. For more information and guidance, you can email me at health@liketreatslike.co.uk or just visit ukhealthradio.com and you'll find my contact details under the presenters tab. I do hope you've enjoyed the Homeopathy Health Show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Tune in next time for more things homeopathy, interviews and segments on the healing possibilities that homeopathy can bring you. And don't forget to visit UK Health Radio online at www.ukhealthradio.com to see the many other amazing shows available to listen live and on demand. Or why not download the app from the iOS and Android stores. Until next time, stay safe and take care.